You got some speed, right?
Yeah.
I don't have any feet, but this would be the time for somebody to start talking.
Yeah. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head.
Yeah.
Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Michael and Lou and Nick?
I feel it.
Bad touch. Bad touch.
Yeah.
The Libertarian Party is giving me bad touch.
As always.
Yeah.
And also, as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Is Nick there? Nick?
I'm here.
All right. Yeah.
Speak up, son, like you're on radio. It's your big boy voice.
I'll be.
Oh, yeah. Nick's dropping out. We can't have that.
Speak up, Nick's son, like your pair has finally dropped.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That might only be in the past couple weeks.
Oh, snap. Really? Is Nick there?
It's going to be one of I think he's choking from laughing so hard.
don't you hear the cat giggling sound?
Yeah.
Meow, meow, meow.
That was good. That was good.
Just doing my gerb. So is it good enough to take on stage at the Libertarian Party National Convention?
Oh, I don't know. That might be.
I don't think you can top whatever this guy did. I can't remember his name. Just missed it.
James Weeks the second.
Yes, he put on quite a performance, did he not?
Yes, he's one of the radicals from the Michigan LP.
In other words, he's one of your friends, right? You hung out.
Yeah, we've hung out a time or two.
Yeah, I was over there checking the LRN feed. We sound great, guys, and there's no echo, and it's all good. And this is a teaching hospital, so we say this kind of thing. So I posted after I saw this today. Oh, Lou, I hear you breathing. Stop breathing. That's somebody put that on.
I haven't breathed in a week.
There's this new Twitter.
Gave up breathing for Lent.
Out. There's a Twitter people should check out. It's called Out of Context Fiends. And one of the quotes on there was me saying, "I can hear you breathing. Stop breathing." Which out of context sounds kind of dire. sounds like something on Law and Order, Special Victims Unit.
Victims Unit.
Yeah, I love that show. So I actually like the Law and Orders, the non-Status Victims Unit ones, the old ones with Jerry Orbach from back in the 80s. They're good. This 90s.
Oh, yeah, the originals.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What was it? Jerry Orbach, Paul Sorvino, Michael Moriarty, David Robinette, and...
Wow.
I don't know who else.
You groupie. Paul Sorvino's only in the first season, though, isn't he? Isn't he the one that...
Either the first or the first and the second. And Stephen Hill was the head prosecutor back then.
Yeah, he was a district attorney.
Yes.
Sorvino
was a detective. That too.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
But well, Sorvino, they always had a revolving...
He frequently played mobsters in his
he's in Goodfellas.
Acting career. Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah. Yep. Paulie Cicero. Yeah. So, Libertarian Party. We like liberty. We like libertarianism. We like being left alone, but the Libertarian Party does it wrong. Lou, in a nutshell, what's wrong with the Libertarian Party other than no sense of humor?
Well, they are the nuts in the nutshell. The Libertarian Party is full of people that are not libertarians, and I'm not sure if that's a step up or a step down from the truthers, chemtrailers, and other conspiratards that make up the ranks. And it's really a collection of knuckleheads. And if you look at the presidential candidates, like the three top tier candidates, meaning Johnson, Peterson, and McAfee, you have Peterson, who the popular consensus on him is he is fueled by vinegar and water. McAfee is somebody who'd be cool to hang out with, provided that you have a good attorney on retainer.
Share a hooker.
Yeah, share a hooker. You know,
or a really good escape plan.
share some beer. Penicillin. Yeah. And then you have Johnson. Johnson is to libertarianism what the Rubik's Cube is to classical literature.
I like that. You said that today, and I don't know. I think there might be more connection between the Rubik's Cube and classical literature. But the Libertarian Party always, their main problem, really, other than that they're trying to achieve non-government through government, is, you know,
no, they're not trying to achieve non-government.
If you want to put on, well, if you want to put on your minarchist hat for a minute, they always nominate non-libertarians, you know, Gary Johnson.
Because they're most electable.
Bob Barr. And there's no point in them worrying about what's electable because they're never going to get anyone elected. They only exist, as Ian Freeman put it, to spread the ideas of liberty. And, you know, occasionally they do that. Like Daryl Perry is an actual libertarian who got in the debate, in one of the debates, I think, or a few
of them. One of the debates.
Yeah. But really, I think the most libertarian thing that happened was James Weeks, who was a candidate who jumped up on the dais and took off all his clothes and was wearing a thong and was probably a guy you don't want to see naked. You know, even if you're someone who wants to see guys naked, he's a large man. I'm a large man. I'm not complaining, but I'm not stripping on national television. And this was on C-SPAN. And God bless him. I think it was the most libertarian thing that's ever happened at a Libertarian Party event. And this is government TV. C-SPAN is government TV. And he got naked. And they were booing him, these libertarian conventioneers. And they were trying to get him off the stage and being upset. And there's comments like, this is what's wrong with the Libertarian Party. And I'm like, no, this is the only thing that's ever been right about the Libertarian Party.
I can summarize the convention. There was somebody there that made a complete A-word of himself and really just showed himself to be a complete idiot. And then a fat guy danced on stage naked.
That about sums it up. And I actually immediately tried to find him on Facebook, and of course I'm friends with him already on Facebook. I was friends with him before he was naked on national television. So
I knew you before you were naked.
I immediately tagged him and offered him Freedom Fiends buttons, said, you know, send me your address. And within seconds he posted back and said, I'll send you my address. Thank you. And I'm also going to send him a Bipcot sticker. So if he ever does this again, if they ever let him anywhere near any convention again, he could put it on his thong. That'd be kind of neat to have that, you know, that tongue and mouth sticking out there and have him Bipcotted so no governments can touch him there. But here's the cool thing. Like, I love that you can write to politicians now and within seconds they write you back. The first time I wrote to a politician, it was Gerald Ford. It was in 1975 when I was 11. He was president.
Did you email him?
No, I wrote him a snail mail letter. I typed it on my dad's electric typewriter and sent it to him and told him I thought he should legalize marijuana. And I'm still waiting. So that's what you get from working within the system. But well, he wrote me back. Or the White House wrote me back. I'm sure the FBI added me to a list at age 11 on the spot. But the White House wrote me back a letter signed by him, a form letter with an 8x10 glossy of him, and a thing that a letter that basically said, "We're very concerned with your input on national issues like," and then literally it was like fill in the blank, you know, marijuana decriminalization. And you know, we take all these letters very seriously. Thank you for participating in the democratic process. It's people like you that make America work. Literally, I mean, that's the kind of stuff it said. It was funny. Yeah.
Gotta love those cookie cutter responses.
Yeah, but you know, now you can write a politician, and within seconds they write you back, and you send them pictures of a Bipcot tongue for their Johnson, for their Gary Johnson.
Yes, send James a surgical mask for next time he's dancing around on stage.
I don't have any, but that'd be great because those can double as bras or covering your junk.
For him, he may need a few of those.
He definitely needs a bra.
Yeah.
Well, LP, now with bigger boobs.
Yeah. I'm not going to be fattest with him. And, you know, I actually posted something the other day, speaking of which, I think it's kind of silly when people make a big deal about cops being fat. I mean, yeah, they get fat on our dime, but you know what? I'm more scared of the like skinny in shape ones that just came back from Fallujah and are trained to like kill people and get away with it. The fat ones are probably closer to retirement. You know, maybe they'll shoot you, but you can probably outrun them.
But that's what I was going to have to say. I was going to say they're more likely to shoot you because they know they can't catch you. So they're just going to fire first.
But you know, that's not necessarily true too, because a lot, and that's the joke that everyone makes, but, and there are exceptions, but, generally, you can't get hired as a cop if you're overweight, but you could get hired in shape and then get fat on our dime over decades and keep your job.
I thought that was part of the program.
And by the time you're, you know, a few decades in and you're a fat cop, you probably are more concerned with not rocking the boat and getting your pension than you are with, catching somebody.
Yeah.
That's a nice theory. It'd be a real shame if some fat cop proved you wrong.
Yeah, like the guy who pulled out, like that guy, the old guy that was a cop reservist who thought he was tasering somebody and shot somebody recently. Remember that one?
Vaguely, yes.
Yeah.
Was that on the subway or the train or whatever it was a couple of years ago?
No, it was about a year ago, I think, and it was out in the wilderness, out in the streets.
When I think of overweight cops, I think of there's one picture that whenever I'm making memes and I'm searching for photos of police brutality, there's always one that comes up, and I'm pretty sure it's that for some reason all the insignias seem to be missing from the picture, but it sure as heck seems like New York NYPD, and there's this very rotund cop in the middle of a fracas with a bunch of people about to swing his baton. He kind of just looks like a big balloon with like a little arms and legs sticking out as he's in motion with his baton. But that's what I think of. This just large guy who's trying to beat people down.
Yeah.
I like the one with the very rotund guy, also known as Fat Bleeper. And you got the skinny kid that looks like Mark Zuckerberg giving the Schumer Eaton grin saying, "Should I run for it?"
Oh, that's a good one too.
And to be honest, that cop probably has so much grease from fried chicken on his fingers, the gun will just slip right out of his hand.
See, this is what I was saying is silly, and Lou's doing it. But go ahead, Lou. Go ahead, Lou.
But it's funny when I do it.
Yeah. All right. Well, when we get back, we're gonna read some of the comments on this James Week strips at Libertarian Convention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worms.
You guys have a feed?
I have no feed.
Hey, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Talk to me.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hey, there's some Squisklar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom's Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the road to freedom.
Fiendbot 3000.
Two designs for
Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch. Now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
And we're back. Left, I think what we're talking about, how silly the Libertarian Party is, right?
Yes.
So we were going to continue talking about how silly they are, but actually, I think we were going to start maybe reading some of the comments from this YouTube video, and unfortunately, they are terribly predictable. People, you know, assuming that one guy speaks for everybody. I mean, I agree with you guys that this was funny as heck, and I appreciate the fact that he did it. But you see these comments that people just, oh, this is what libertarianism is all about, and the very first comment I came across was, I'm embarrassed to say I was considering voting libertarian. I've made up my mind I'll be voting for Trump. The kind of insanity and incompetence is the problem with our country's elected officials. No, this kind of insanity and competence is much better than the stuff we see on a regular basis from our elected officials.
You talking or the comment? That's you talking.
No, that's
right?
Me talking. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
It's much better. Yeah. So, yeah. But there's a lot of stuff in there like that. People just automatically assuming that this means all libertarians are like this, and that's so sad.
Yeah. Yeah. James does not represent the Libertarian Party because most of the Libertarian Party is not this cool.
And he's actually an anarcho-communist, isn't he? Like, he's not like libertarian, what we think of as libertarian, but we still think he's still more libertarian than the Libertarian Party.
Yeah, I mean, he has a lot of Marxist tendencies, and his ideology has more breaks in it than a union workshop. But
oh, man.
It really depends upon what book he most recently read as to what he believes this week. But he
was born to be a politician, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. he definitely leans towards the Marxist camp. Here's an interesting one. Libertarian, long definition. A liberal who understands economics and owns firearms. Libertarian, short definition. Autistic liberal.
Oh, so man.
Apparently there's some idiot conservative out there.
Libertarians, the only party that will make you lose more faith in humanity than liberals. See, I think what he did, here's one, liberty was a mistake.
Well, I found a positive one that I like.
What is it?
This one, when stripping on stage at a national convention isn't as shameful as your policy on border control. Just libertarian things.
That's funny.
and sadly, that was actually probably written by a conservative who thinks that the border should be strong, but it could actually be played both ways because the Libertarian Party but the Libertarian Party is so schizophrenic on everything that they do is that it can be actually used against them. That's why I found it funny. I may actually respond to him and tell him thanks for that one because it didn't read the way that he intended. But it's, yeah, like I said, it's just, it's... I found it funny, and the Libertarian Party is not very impressed. I gotta say
I'm reminded of the quote that's misattributed to Emma Goldman, "If I can't dance, I want nothing to do with your revolution," which actually and she was a left anarchist, wasn't she? An anarchist.
Yes, she was.
But according to Goldman scholar Alex Cates Schulman, it was instead the invention of anarchist printer Jack Frager from a small batch of Emma Goldman t-shirts he printed in 1973. So, but it's kind of a shortening of something she said in her memoirs, which doesn't really work on a t-shirt, but it's, "I insisted that our cause could not expect me to become a nun and that the movement should not be turned into a cloister. If it meant that, I did not want it. I want freedom, the right to self-expression, and everybody's right to beautiful, radiant things." Ugh, that's wordy and hippie. I mean, you can definitely, that definitely distills down to, if I can't dance, I don't want to be part of your revolution. Yes.
I hope you don't have anything against beautiful, radiant things.
I don't. And I really think that a fat neckbeard dancing naked on C-SPAN is a beautiful and radiant thing when compared to the Libertarian Party that was surrounding it. The crunchy center. He's the crunchy center with the gooey nougat of the Libertarian Party around him. And, you know, there is, at about 1 minute and 30 seconds in this, there's a guy in the audience, like, in a suit, like putting his head in his hand and shaking his head. And it's either Austin Peterson or it's Anthony Weiner. It looks like both. I think it's Anthony Weiner. Yeah.
What would Anthony Weiner be at a libertarian event for?
don't know, because they'd probably nominate him right now. It's probably the only party that would nominate him. Because the Democrats told him to, like, Nancy Pelosi told him to step down, and he refused. He was, like, screaming at reporters. Remember that? Pretty funny. We're out.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
COINTELPRO. Tell me about it, Lou.
There's a very interesting comment on this YouTube video.
Of James Weeks. For those just tuning in, James Weeks, the Libertarian Party candidate who stripped naked as his concession speech, I guess, for not being nominated. And this is a friend of yours. You know this guy. And he stripped naked and on C-SPAN. Well, he wasn't naked. He's wearing a thong, but pretty close to naked. And he's a large man, and he's bearded. And I just think it was awesome. I love it.
And he's got more rolls than a bakery. But anyway.
He's got more liberty in him than any Libertarian Party candidate. I mean, you know, everybody except Daryl Perry that was running this year doesn't know what the non-aggression principle was and want government to do silly things. And, you know, they elected a former head of the CIA before, you know, Bob Barr.
Nominated. Yeah. Nobody from the LP gets elected to anything.
That's true.
So anyway, yeah,
except
this comment.
In New Hampshire. No, but in New Hampshire, they get elected as Democrats and Republicans. So go on.
Okay. This comment comes from Breaking the Matrix, and this is on that YouTube video. This is what's called COINTELPRO, counterintelligence aimed at surveilling, infiltrating, discrediting, and disrupting domestic political organizations. I can promise you that this man was paid off to do this. This is disgusting. This is an attempt to make the Libertarian Party look like a bunch of whack jobs. I am furious.
That's funny. First of all, you're nobody till you're accused of being a COINTELPRO agent, and I've been accused of being one, so I'm somebody. James Weeks now is somebody, but making the Libertarian Party look ridiculous, that's all you have to do is look at him.
No, James would do that for free.
I know.
Matter of fact, most of the members of the LP would make the LP look stupid for free.
Yeah.
A couple of responses. Well, I don't think libertarians are really all that smart. I do think they are being targeted here. Nope. Oh, trust me, the general consensus has been pretty dead set on libertarians being a bunch of whack jobs long before this instance. This is what makes you look like whack jobs? I thought that was your policies. And somebody responded to Breaking the Matrix, "Hey, I like your Hello Kitty icon. Are you a girl?"
I know. That was funny. hitting on people in the hater comment. That's the internet. For you. So Nick, do you have this thing up about populism?
I do. Which one do you want me to read? Trump or the article?
Read the definition of populism first. I want to talk about populism. It's a hot topic, even if people don't use that term for it. So go ahead and read the definition of it there.
Populism is a political position which holds that the virtuous citizens are being mistreated by a small circle of elites who can be overthrown if the people recognize the danger and work together. The elites.
Yeah. Okay. Now stop. Stop. That's stop. Okay, that's the definition. The rest. This is my commentary after this. So go ahead with my commentary.
The elites are depicted as trampling in
illegitimate. No. Wait. Huh?
What?
You're reading something different than me. Oh, you're reading the article. Okay. So that was like the basic idea of populism. You know, is this idea that we're being mistreated by the elites and we can overthrow them if we recognize the danger and work together. And my comment on it is that it's a double-edged sword because it's sword. It's usually BS. You know, it's popular populist movements would include, you know, Bernie Sanders, Trump, the Tea Party, ISIS, intense Christian, you know, some Christians going back to the Dark Ages, the ones that burned books then and now. But the definition of it, it's easy to paint us as populist too. Like, you know, because I think every Freedom Fiends co-host probably believes that virtuous people are being mistreated by a small circle of elites. I don't know if we buy the can be overthrown if the people recognize the danger and work together, or at least I would say probably not the way most people think. Lou, I hear you commenting in your brain. Go ahead.
Yes. Yes. Well, what you have is you have the New World Order, lizard people, reptilian Illuminati that, you know,
talk radio.
Yeah, they have their fingers into everything, and they have these strings on their fingers, and these strings control all these different things. But if you vote, if you throw your little piece of paper in that box with just the right politician's name on it, you can defeat the New World Order, Illuminati, lizard people, reptilian guys,
yeah.
Because votes. Because they have no power when you like cast your ballot.
Right. And, you know, we don't necessarily have the answer, but we know what is the wrong question, which is further than most people on talk radio, I think, because most people on talk radio think the question is, how are we going to organize the voting base to fix government through government? We know that's the wrong question, and we know that that's a distraction on the way to finding the real idea. And, you know, there's a lot of... you know, there's people that hint at a lot of interesting ideas. Ben Stone's done a lot of good work with talking about basically reducing the demand for the state, you know, and he's the first person I ever heard who's one of the Freedom Fiends co-hosts. He's the first person I ever heard to make a distinction between the state and the government. And he said that the state is the real problem, and the state is the need for government in people's minds, you know, the backing of the government. And he said, the government is tiny compared to the state. The government is, you know, we think of it as the big giant monster, but it's all the halls of marble, and it's all the laws, and it's all the robes and all the shiny badges and all the law books and all the salaries and pensions, et cetera. By the way, how come conservatives want to destroy every public sector union, which they should, except for the police? They want to. The reason police have so much power and have special rights and can kill people and then, like, you know, get a tea break while they're being interrogated with their, you know, paid for attorney present. They get all these special rights. They actually have something called the Officer's Bill of Rights. Why are conservatives so in favor of that when they're so against all the other public sector unions? I think that's hypocrisy. But anyway, back to populism. Go ahead.
It's because they're baby lickers and boot killers.
I like that. It was dyslexics of the world untie.
Exactly. Now, yeah. The conservatives, I read this article, and it says that conservatives have to be opposed to everything that the liberals are for, and they have to be for everything that the liberals are opposed to.
Yep.
And the liberals have a tendency to hate the police, but they love the government. So they love the group that's making all these rules. They just don't like the gang that's enforcing them. So if you say, I have to be the opposite of them, then what you get is you have the people, you have conservatives worshiping the people that inflict the government tyranny upon people, but they hate the politicians that sign the laws, you know, sign stuff for the law. So the excuses that they'll do, they're very Nuremberg trial about it when they say, look, the cops don't write these laws. They just enforce them. You know, they don't decide which Jews and gypsies get picked up and taken to the camps. They just do the picking up. So I guess if you like take a Mayor Bloomberg, you know, Nanny Bloomberg or Nanny Emanuel from Chicago, and you know, you like grab them up, you get ready for their Nuremberg trial, I suppose they're going to say something like, well, you know what, I just signed the bills into law. I don't actually write the bills. I mean, I'm not the one kicking in your door and enforcing it, trying to make my quota generate revenue. You know, what are you mad at me for? So it's like nobody's actually responsible. But going back to the original thing, because conservatives hate liberals more than they hate tyranny, they support the cops and tyranny.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah, and you know, Trump is really riding a wave of populism, and he's widely considered to be a populist politician. And you know who else is populist? Is the 99%er people, the Occupy Wall Street people, because like literally the name of their movement implies populism. It implies, you know, this 1% is the elite who's taking away all the rights and the money from the 99%, and they need to be controlled. And really, I mean, I would think conservatives and liberals would scream at this thought, but I really think that Trump supporters have a lot in common with Occupy Wall Street people. What do you guys think?
Elaborate on that thought.
Well, I think they're both looking for a magic cure for their perception that they're being mistreated by a small circle of elites. Although it's pretty bizarre to want Trump to be he is the small circle of elites. I mean, in any any definition of it, you know, if there is a secret, you know, owl worshiping club where Democrats and Republicans get together and drink blood and, you know, have sex with babies and plan the next year of what they're going to do to the world, I'm sure someone like Trump, you know, at least in the cartoon in my head, would be sitting on the lap of Hillary Clinton while she's dressed as a dominatrix.
Oh, that is a visual I did not need for the rest of the evening.
Popping fried, deep fried owl and baby hands into his mouth. So
deep, deep fried quaaludes.
Yes. Plato's retreat for politicians. Yeah, go on.
As far as like with Trump, because each politician has to have a boogeyman out there to scare people. And
boogers.
I'm gonna paraphrase H.L. Mencken.
As a black man, I resent what you're saying, Lou.
Well,
boogeyman is a racist term, yeah. And I am 164th black. I don't like it.
Okay, well, get to the like second row of the bus.
I'll go sit in my safe space.
Yeah. So anyway, each politician has to have a boogeyman. And as Mencken put it, politics is keeping people afraid of an endless supply of hobgoblins and all this other crap, most of which is not even real. So with Trump, he has a tendency to blame the foreigners and everybody else for the problems of government. Hitler blamed the Jews for the problems of government.
He also blamed foreigners, and he blamed anybody who is ethnically, you know, the Jews take all the credit for the bad things that happened at the Holocaust, and they were the majority of it. But the Nazis also killed in mass homosexuals, blacks, infirm, gypsies, sick people. I definitely would have been killed, even though I'm blonde haired and blue eyed. I definitely would have been killed because I'm costing the state a lot of money with my health issues. They killed those people. They killed babies that were sick. They killed children. They killed old. They had death panels for the old people. They killed, what's that
Obamacare
religion? Yeah, what's that religion that goes door to door?
Jehovah's Witnesses. Those people.
Yeah, they killed them too. Yeah, we'll be back. Populism. Google it, people. Google populism. I'm going to take pictures of my cat.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Yeah. What about that article?
get there. So, this is the Freedom Fiends, and we decided that populism was, that topic was too academic for us. It's, I mean, what we're saying is true, but it's like, we'd rather make fun of people who are making fun of a naked libertarian. That's more of the fiends. You know, they say that people, I've heard people say that most libertarian radio shows and podcasts are like college. They're really academic. Well, today we're going to have a 9-hour discussion about Mott Rothbard and Mises's view of the non-aggression principle. Whereas, and you know, that stuff's useful, but, oh, snore. You know, the Freedom Fiends, this show is more like having a beer with your, smoking some crack and crocodile with your professors after class. So
just like college.
Yeah, so James Weeks strips naked on C-SPAN at the Libertarian Party convention. Actually, there was somebody, so one of the comments was, Ron Paul must be rolling over in his grave. Which is funny and mean because Ron Paul's very much still alive. Actually, I think Ron Paul should strip naked with James Weeks at a Libertarian Party convention. Ron Paul would probably look better naked, but, and I'm not being fattest. I probably wouldn't look much better than James Weeks naked, but I'm not stripping naked on TV, and he did, and I'm celebrating it so I can comment about it of, you know, he could do a few million sit-ups.
Well, the good doctor is rather athletic. He does ride his bicycle, and I don't know if he jogs, but he stays quite active, and he's quite fit for a cranky old statist.
Yeah, like George Bush. I remember, who's the guy that they say like gave the Republicans the nomination in the guy that wrote Unsafe at Any Speed?
Ralph Nader.
Yeah, Ralph Nader. I remember an interview with Ralph Nader when he was running against Bush, and they said, "Can you say anything good about Bush as president?" And Nader thought for like 20 seconds, and then finally said, "He's quite physically fit for a politician." Yeah. Bush is a jock, basically, is what it comes down to, you know?
Well, yeah, that is probably one of the best things you can say about his president. That's right.
Yeah, he could ride a bike far in the Texas heat for a 50-year-old man at the time. So 55. Yep.
Yeah. We keep talking about this, and I keep reading through the comments, and there's just more and more and more.
Lay it on me, brother.
Where are the one? Oh, I just lost the one that I just lost it. Oh, yeah.
Give me the gist.
This is one of the reasons most libertarians aren't members of the Libertarian Party. and again, this is probably somebody who fancies himself a libertarian but doesn't want to be associated with the party and doesn't realize that he's actually making a true statement in general about actual libertarians, because, you know,
someone said this is why we need a government. That's one of the comments. And then there's another one that says, what you just saw was a fake libertarian infiltrator paid to make the party look stupid. Come on, man. The party look stupid.
There was a couple of direct accusations of the Trump campaign doing this and putting them up to it. You know, it's like,
no.
I mean, I don't know James, but I have a feeling based on what I do know of him is that he claimed, I heard him at the end of the video say he did that on a dare. That's why he actually did it. But I could see him just trying somebody like him again, once, at least what I know of him, trying to do it to discredit the Libertarian Party, but not because anybody paid him, just to show him how ridiculous they are.
Yeah.
Because the thing with the party that bothers me the most is they actually have the gall to have part of the pledge that you have to take to be a part of the Libertarian Party says that you basically have to agree to the NAP. In order to be part of
the non-aggression principle.
The non-aggression principle.
Yeah, and then they all
disobey it. They all ignore it.
Well, the guy that they nominated said he didn't really know what it was.
Well, no. Well, no. What John, to his credit, what Johnson said about that was, the NAP. Of course, I love the NAP. I believe, you know, almost like a Trump-esque thing. Like, the NAP, great. Love it. Great stuff. When it comes to the Constitution, though, well, I don't see how they're kind of really compatible. It's all kind of over my head. That's how he put it. And I was like, Okay, now the nap is over your head. No, that
it's
doesn't
huge.
Work.
Huge. Huge.
And of course, he's also the same guy who wants, you know, to force people to bake cakes. So he's just definitely not a libertarian. And then you have Peterson, who flat out said he rejects the non-aggression principle. So they're not libertarians. So,
I'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends after we go to this trip to the free market, and then some news that'll scare the heck out of you, and then we'll come back and make you forget about it by trying to make you laugh. Worms. Yeah.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Necessary. This is Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends and James Weeks's junk is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Yeah, and Lou just posted something awesome. It's a picture of James Weeks naked almost on the stage at Libertarian Party convention today. C-SPAN broadcast. And it says, exposing people to the Libertarian Party. That's pretty funny, man. People, yeah, you did like you tag James Weeks in that?
Oh, no, I didn't. Darn it. I'm going to have to.
Do it. Do it. Yeah. And I got to say that the Fiends Bump has done this video well. Between the time that this was put up today and the time this show started, which was about 7 hours, it got less than 1,000 views. In the hour that we've been talking about it on this show, it's gotten another 10,000 views. So the Fiends Bump is doing well. Yep.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Now, something that was kind of interesting was I saw people going up and stuffing what appeared to be money.
Fiat currency.
Federal Reserve notes into his G-string or whatever it was. His bip, banana bip hammock.
String. His bip string. Yeah.
The one comment I saw about that was actually, you know, making fun of him, but was pretty funny. Because everybody was like, oh, do you think they were egging him on? And somebody was like, no, maybe they were trying to pay him to get off the stage. Just please, here, take this, go. Just get off, please.
Yeah.
But the funniest, for me, the funniest thing in that video, I don't know if I said it before, but that one guy at the end who was just so mad. Like he looked like the prototypical what you think of a Libertarian Party member, and he looks like he actually looks like a couple of friends of mine up here on Long Island who are in the Libertarian Party. Just that standard kind of middle age, kind of plump, somewhat balding guy with these very thin frame glasses, and is looking very intense and angry that this guy is pulling it, because everything he has worked for, all the time he has spent,
he's probably put a lot of money into it too.
I can't speak for him in particular, but the guys around here, it's not about money. It's they do put a lot of time and effort into this. I think it's a waste of time and effort, but they do spend a lot of time, you know, trying to get signatures and all that stuff. So to them, they're trying to make things better. And how dare this guy? It's just it makes it even more laughable to me because just how serious he is about this. I'm like, the three top candidates you had running were not even libertarians by any definition of the word. And yeah. You think that a semi-naked man is ruining your chances.
And it doesn't matter who the Libertarian Party puts up. I mean, they could nominate a ham sandwich and it would still get between 1% and 1.5% of the national vote. Like, you know, Libertarian Party, like it could be a silhouette cutout, you know, like when you sign up for a social network, but you don't upload a picture yet. And there's that kind of like amorphous, is it male? Is it female? Like kind of placeholder until you upload an avatar picture. They could nominate that for Libertarian Party candidate.
You should try that next year.
They should.
Next time around,
although actually, I really think if James Weeks naked was nominated, I think he'd get more than 1%, because I think in this election, I think there are people. Yeah, I think there are Republicans who are not going to vote for Trump. And I think there are, you know, newly minted liberal college 18-year-olds who want to vote for Bernie Sanders, but he won't be nominated, who aren't going to vote for Hillary. And probably 1 or 2% of the liberals and conservatives would vote for naked James Week as a protest vote. I really think if they nominated him, the Libertarian Party would get 5% of the vote this year. I really do. I think it'd be the highest ever.
That would be hysterical.
Couple points. One, he was actually running for the national chairmanship of the party, so he's not running for president. I'm sure he'll work his way up to that.
wiggle his way up.
Yeah, because the
sleep his way to the top.
Yeah, the LP candidates, yeah, they always bounce around between which election they're going to lose miserably. And what was the other thing? Oh yeah, that stodgy old guy. I bet he was saying, you know, the time that was wasted on this fat guy dance around, we could have been talking about how we're going to fix the chemtrails once we get in the office.
Maybe. Well, I have some good news that actually makes a difference. You guys know about Cell 411?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's an app. People can go get it free. Go to getcell411.com. It's a free app for Android and iPhone that basically allows you to eliminate the need for police or emergency services and replace them with the ability to instantly call a group of friends who will show up and help you and not kill you like the police do sometimes. They show up and kill people. It's really cool. And it's this idea has been around for a while. There have been a couple apps that have tried to do it, but nobody's really done it. And Cell 411 has hit it out of the ballpark. It's had like 100,000 installs. It's getting written up everywhere. Cops are really mad about it. And like the Freedom Fiends, it is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government License. Did you guys know this about Cell 411?
Yes. And speaking of that, and speaking of cops, I would like to take this quick opportunity to once again shame Officer Mike Byers of the California, what is it, the Azusa Police Department in California.
That's been a while. Yeah.
Yeah, but I like to, well, okay. I bring him up as often as I can because he violated the license, and he sucks, and I think he stinks. Yep. Actually, no, he stings. I'm pretty sure he's a socialist.
A cop is a socialist because he's, you know.
Exactly.
Explain, Lou, why cops are socialists.
Aside from the smelling like mothballs and tinkle and donuts.
And violence.
Okay. Socialism as a so-called economic system, it's actually a management system. Socialism involves state ownership of the means of production or the means of confiscating production in the case of cops. But anyway, the cops as an industry are state-owned. No competition is allowed. Everybody is forced to pay for them through taxation. And if the service sucks, well, too damn bad. You know, we're the government. Pay us. So,
yep.
And yeah. Yep. That's the sure version of it.
So the good news about Cell 411, other than that it's great and it's changing the world and it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, is it has been chosen to be exhibited in the Victoria and Albert Museum, which is a very, very respected museum in Britain. They have like the Future of Design is the name of the exhibit. The last thing I heard of being put in this museum, in this exhibit, was the iPhone. So apparently cell 411 is as important as the iPhone in changing the world. And I can kind of see that.
I'd posit that it's even more important. But
I'd say that it's a killer app that should make you buy a cell, an iPhone or Android phone if you don't have one yet. You know, that's what a killer app is like. Desktop publishing was a killer app. It was like the thing that made you go buy the computer. What was another one?
A metaphorical killer app that will replace real life killer cops.
I like yes. that. There you go.
Yes. Yep.
So if you don't yet have a smartphone and you're, and people laugh, but my wife and I got smartphones like 3 months ago, like literally until then we were using practically the jitterbug, but no, it wasn't. It was like a 7-year-old, what I call a hockey puck phone. I mean, you could text on it, but you know, it had like the little chiclet like buttons for QWERTY keyboard for texting. And so if you don't yet have a smartphone, buy one and get service just to get cell 411. It's worth it.
Yes, yes. I would agree.
I think it's actually one of the, I think one of the coolest things about this, and this kind of goes with our Libertarian Party stuff, we're making fun of them, but this is something that's really going to make a difference. Like you were talking about what Ben Stone used to say, to reduce the demand for the state. And this is a perfect opportunity for that, using cell 411.
I mean, even in a more direct way than Bitcoin, like I'm not going to quite go as far yet to say cell 411 is as important yet as Bitcoin. It might end up being more important than Bitcoin. Although, really, I think the blockchain is the important thing with Bitcoin. I think that there may be another currency down the block at some point. Although, none of them have really caught on. You know,
Doge is coming back.
Oh, Doge is coming back. Bet the farm on Doge. Yeah. I mean, I was really big on Namecoin for a while, but it had a lot of problems. The Namecoin developers, not the least amongst them. But yeah. Well, but cell 411, like literally, like it even more than Bitcoin, I would say it reduces all, the only thing it does is reduce the need for government. Whereas Bitcoin can be used with government. I guess cell 411 could be used. They're actually coming out with an enterprise edition of it, which could be used by municipalities or whatever. It's going to be a pay version that, you know, is for like somebody sitting in a room monitoring, you know, a whole bunch of people using cell 411. But yeah, that probably won't be under the BIPCOT license. And actually, this museum that that is putting cell 411 in is sort of sponsored by the British government partially. So I had to issue a libertarian indulgence for cell 411 to be able to be in this exhibit. And I'm the only person that can do that apparently, because I have magic powers because I wrote the BIPCOT license. But I want BIPCOT to become bigger than being beyond me. Almost there.
So that means you have special rights because of your magic parchment?
Yes.
That doesn't sound right for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, the thing is, I can't prove that you don't have those same special rights. I can't prove that anybody else doesn't have the power to write libertarian indulgences to you, to put, you know, something that's covered by a BIPCOT license in a government, partially government-funded museum.
Touche.
Yeah. I don't know that you couldn't, but I don't know that you can either. I have no idea until you try it. Now, BIPCOT news, recently we've had pictures. People have been sending in, they order these BIPCOT flags for $16, and they've been BIPCOTting things from Nick's Yaks to your kids, your BIPTOTs, to Lou's. Well, Lou couldn't get out of the snow to BIPCOT anything. He couldn't get out of his camper. But the Grand Canyon and Mount Rushmore, Mount Statism, were recently BIPCOTted, so the government can't touch either.
Much of Nepal's been BIPCOTted as well, I believe, right?
Much of Nepal was? Yes.
Yes.
Yep. We'll be back. They'll be back. I don't know if I'll be back. Have a good show, guys. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends. We're back. Now that the old man is gone, I'm going to talk a little bit. So, earlier we were talking about Cell 411 and how this could potentially, and hopefully will, decrease the demand for the government or the state. And last hour we touched on the definition of the state. And what is this state? And we talked about Ben Stone, Bad Quaker. I don't know if badquaker.com has his archives up anymore. Never mind.
Yeah, it does. Know? I was just there 2 days ago. As of 2 days ago, they were definitely still there.
Cool. If not, you can find them at notbeinggoverned.com.
Or
The Art of Not Being Governed has backed up the Bad Quaker archives as well as a couple other places.
Or you could also torrent for the Fiends, and then you could get all those episodes as well. That's how I got my collection of Ben Stone episodes.
Nice. I got to go back through and listen to those again. But one of the things that was really interesting, and I think kind of, I guess we could say revolutionary, but something that I don't think a lot of people really touched on that Ben did a really good job on was pointing out this kind of mythical belief in the state. And I guess I don't remember exactly what his definition of the state was, but what I kind of consider is similar to what Larkin Rose would say, is that it's the belief in authority, or that somebody other than yourself can legitimately take control of your life and dictate what your decisions are. What do you guys think about that?
Now, what Ben had said, and I'm going to be a little bit different than him, because we just have like a minor difference of opinion on there. He defines government, or he defines government as being essentially the guns and the people who point the guns. States being the crime family territory, geographic monopolies on the use of that gun pointing. But the state is the religious faith in authority that legitimizes the existence of governments and states. And that's really the important part, because with this faith, with this belief, with these holy scriptures of the Constitution and these prophets and apostles known as the founding fathers, and these laws, the 10 million commandments that exist today, that is all part of this religion of the state. All this supporting evidence, so to speak, and all these different sacraments, meaning voting and service and sacrificing your children to the state through military service and all these other things. This is all part of that religion that legitimizes the existence of governments and states.
Yeah, well, I would agree. I think I might have said before we came back on the air that I used to use the terms government and state interchangeably almost, but it was listening to Ben's description of that kind of made me go, that makes sense. They are kind of separate things, really. And it is that belief that carries everything, you know. I mean, you've said it plenty of times before. It's not even necessarily the belief in authority. It's the belief in obedience that's the problem, because people can condition themselves to believe that they have to obey these things. And even worse, not that they have to obey them, they insist that everybody else has to obey them too, because it's the horizontal enforcement that causes all this stuff to stay in place anyway, because there's not nearly enough guns of government to actually keep 330 plus million people in line.
Yeah, they're like, this is my religion, you're going to worship it as I do. So here, bow down on one knee and carry your constitution around with you.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Pledge allegiance.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. I think a good point to make, too, is as one thing you can tell that people have this weird belief in it, is that when you even decide to question the idea of having a government, immediately people are like, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous, right? And I think that's a good point to say that this is not something people have really questioned. It's not really a belief that people really reasoned with. It's just something that most people are brought up in and either conditioned through schooling and just kind of not have it questioned at all. And it really is really a lack of critical thinking. It's kind of disappointing to see.
What's about it is domestication. Mm-hmm. And humans become domesticated house pets and happy to walk around on their leash. Some of them want a longer leash, some of them want a choke collar.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Back and for the break we were discussing the difference between governments and states and the state, and well, it's all a mess, it's all garbage. And it's most of it's imaginary. The only thing that actually exists are the people and the guns they hold and point at you. And I guess maybe the pens they use to write their silly little scribbles down on the magic pieces of paper. But everything else, even like the government doesn't exist. The people exist. The buildings themselves exist. The government doesn't exist. That's an idea, too, people have.
You know? Well, the referring to it as government is referring it to it by its godlike entity name. Here's something to consider. When somebody's telling you how essential it is that government does, that government exists, that government must do this, here's a little thought experiment. Because we have to deal with the government that does exist today, meaning Obama, Pelosi, Ryan, Reid, McConnell, that jack wagon that said that Guam was going to tip over if there are too many soldiers on there.
You know, still one of my favorites.
Yeah, that bunch of Emmy Award winners. So take the politicians that currently exist and the bureaucrats, and for everything that you believe government should do, for everything that you believe government should be in charge of, for everything that you believe that the existence of government is absolutely positively essential for, otherwise the whole world is going to go down the drain. Stop saying government. Say the names of the politicians that currently hold office. Say, you know what, if Nancy Pelosi isn't in charge of health care, then this world is going to die. This country's gone. If Bernie Sanders isn't in charge of education, then this country's gone. It's going down the toilet. If Lindsey Graham isn't in charge of war and foreign policy, then this country's gone. Now, if you can say that, and instead of using the generic godlike entity of government, if you could use the actual politicians and you still believe what you said, then come see me. Now, don't give me this crap about, well, we're going to get these people elected, they're going to replace all these criminals. No, you're not. Most of these criminals are career criminals. Being an incumbent is just another name for recidivism.
Yeah. Definitely.
Worms.
Worms. But, that's the thing, though. Because if you ask somebody to do that, they will the mental gymnastics they will go through, because I actually dealt with something similar to that earlier today, where people will just bounce from one thing to another. It's like, well, no, because it's not just one person, so that's just silly. Why would I say that? And well, okay, then they'll try the, you know, well, the we the people and the we you know, they are us. And it's like, well, no, how come they get to do things you don't? Well, then they'll move on to something else. And it's just it's they don't even want to try to defend it. It's just,
you know, it's like talking to a 15-year-old girl, you know, hey, could you do this? Oh my God. No, I'm not going to think. No, I'm not going to like use people's names when I talk about my generic godlike entity. No. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's this whole main issue of collectivism, right? And it's very important to remember that people are individuals, and individuals make decisions, not groups. People can make decisions and come together as a group, but it's not the group that makes a decision, right? Because, and as you can see, this is very clear in our usage of the democratic republic system, right? People will often disagree with whoever wins. If 51% decides this, you know, the other 49% is not making that decision. So the whole group is not making the decision. The individuals who have the power made the decision. And I think it's really important to remember that.
And those that did not disagreed that were in the minority, well, too bad.
Yeah.
The majority has spoken. Now pay them. Give up the money.
Which, of course, in itself is terribly ironic, because these same people will turn around and talk about the fact that everything else they do is to help protect the minorities. Mm. Well, wait a minute. What about the really big minority that you're ignoring? The people that are on the other side of you that, you know, this time around lost out, supposedly. You know, even though everybody loses when somebody wins an election, because there are really no winners other than the person who claims the office. Exactly.
Yeah, everybody loses except for the lizard people. The New World Order, Illuminati, reptilians, and their central bank and fiat currency, they win. But you lose.
Yeah. But that's the, you know, that's the problem. Most people don't see it as losing, especially if their, you know, quote unquote, their guy wins. Well, then it's not a loss. It, you know, my guy won. I get to have things that I want. So that's good, right?
It's funny. they refer to the guy that would probably eat them for lunch as their guy. The guy that, mm-hmm. that couldn't care less if they dropped dead. You know, if they dropped dead right in front of them, he'd go through their pockets and take their valuables. They refer to that guy as their guy.
Well, now, to be fair, they want to be able to pull the lever first. Then they'll raid their pockets. They have to keep them alive at least till after they've walked out of the election booth. Then they're fair game. they could just, you know, they could use them after they're dead, too. I guess that tends to happen a lot. You know, all those dead people who vote all over the place. Well, no, the dead people who vote all over the place, I meant.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess it doesn't really matter if you're alive or dead. Yeah. Well, they'll steal from you either way.
Yeah, so I really don't understand how these people get this feeling of actually being a part of this. And not like, you know, well, I'm a Democrat and the Democrats won. No, it's nothing so obscure as that. It's like they envision themselves knowing the politician and hanging out with them and going out to lunch with them once a week or something like that. When in reality, they've never met this person, but they're just projecting this. I'm a part of this thing when they're not. As far as like the lunch, they're not a guest. They're the food. They're the meal.
Yeah. Well, that's that, you know, Nick said before, like the collectivism or on top of it, like this nationalistic thing where it's assumed from a very young age that, you know, you have to be part of something and the team, you know, it's the same thing with sports. And I'm somebody who used to be a huge sports fan. I followed at least three of the four major sports pretty religiously through most of my life. And That gets said, you know, that's presented to young kids as something that, you know, oh, here, this is great. You want to aspire to do this. And you get sucked into rooting for your team. And you see the nationalism, you know, on display on a much smaller scale at, you know, games of all sorts all across the country. And it's the same mentality. Oh, it's my guy. We did it. We did it. No, you didn't. You didn't do a darn thing. You had nothing to do with it, with that win, with that, with the laws. You had nothing to do with any of it other than sitting there and project, you know, like you said, Lou, like projecting this stuff onto people that would never, you, at the most, you may meet them at a rally somewhere and get to wave at them. Or if you're really lucky, shake their hand for like a second or two, get your picture taken with them. Or march around
their office waving their flag.
Yeah, but that's it.
The sports people to say, you know, we won. Really, I didn't see you out on the field there. and some of them are they're more overweight than the LP dancing stripper guy. So how did they win a game?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, I know. Unless they were in the sumo wrestling competition.
But yeah, that gets extended into the larger, you know, quote unquote society, because you see that with people like, you know, there's really no way nice way to put it, the fanboys of the military who go around when they do, we did it, we did this. What the heck did you do? You were sitting home on your couch. You know what, I may not agree with what the troops are being sent to do on pretty much every mission they've ever been on, but at least they're the ones doing the, I mean, I don't agree with what they're doing, but they're the ones doing the work. You haven't done anything. So this, we won, we did this, you know, you we know, saved I, the I, world for, during World War II. No, there was no we, you know.
I get, as a veteran, I get a kick out of these people that have never been in the military that are more status about the military than the actual military people are. And it's pretty darn ridiculous. You know, the way that they'll talk about how the troops defend freedom and all this other stuff, and
it's hero worship.
Yeah, but the reality is, if the troops defended freedom, there'd be a hell of a lot more freedom today. It wouldn't be disappearing. And you get the conservatives, they'll say, well, the troops defend freedom, but they'll turn around, they'll say, that darn Obama is taking our freedom away. He's stealing our freedom. Well, what are the troops doing? And then that's when you start seeing heads explode all over the place. It gets really messy, and you got to get the heavy duty industrial detergent out there to clean up the dead brain matter.
Oh, at that point, just burn the whole room with fire. It's the only thing that's going to work.
Pretty much.
Well, yeah, because, well, just like any other time, cognitive dissonance sets in, and the fact that's a complete contradiction right there, just even if you explain it to him, no, it's not. It's not the same thing. No, it's not. Oh, okay, so they're going to protect these other freedoms, but not the ones that are actually being taken away. Just the hypothetical ones that you use as an excuse for why government is necessary. You know, go ahead.
The oath to like protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, and then when you point out how the Constitution is being blatantly violated in many regards, and then they'll say, well, and they have no powers to, you know, really do that stuff. So then what does support and defend the Constitution really mean? Is it like, I don't know, hang a parchment colored ribbon around a tree and wait for the Constitution to come back? And they're not supporting and defending the Constitution. They're supporting and defending the violators of the Constitution, because every time they go off to war in some place, you know, under this War Powers Act, which, by the way, if you're going to change the Constitution, it does require a constitutional amendment. So yeah, the War Powers Act is unconstitutional, despite what the politicians have said when they granted themselves this power. Yeah. So.
Well, yeah, just like any other power, they granted it to themselves. So why not just edit the list?
So, and as far as I'm concerned, when somebody thanks troops for defending freedom, that notion right there is where participation trophy came.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers, and some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any tomfoolery. So go with AgoristHosting.com. And if you want to get your foot in the door with decentralized marketplaces, Agorist Hosting is now offering Open Bazaar Hosting. Go to AgoristHosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted Now.
The final segment. Try to find a little redemption after all of our Libertarian Party and state bashing, which of course is fun, but I guess we should try to find a happier thing. And Nick, I believe you have some happy news on the farm front.
I do. I have had many little babies born here at the farm. I have I had 17 piglets born in the last 2 months.
Wow. And
yeah, they're all running Bacon around.
Seeds. I think I'm up to...
Yes. Bacon seeds.
Plants of bacon.
They're so fun. These things are... They're the cutest little things ever. I had a litter of seven out in the field, and I can't catch them. I can't get them into a pen, which is fine. They have... it's not a problem. It's just kind of nice to be able to handle them when they're young, so they're friendly later. But now they're just really scared of me, and I've got really tall grass right now. It's about time for haying season, but all they do is just run around in the grass. You can see some of the stalks moving, and you're like, oh, what's that? And you look and you can kind of see something black running through around, and they just move in little herds. It's the best thing ever. And I'm super excited for that, but yeah. I also have some baby yaks, which are also really adorable, and I got to get pretty close to them. My yak mothers are warming up to me, and one of them likes to come see what I'm doing if I get close to the fence. So she came over with her little calf, and I got some pictures. I'll post them on Facebook and Instagram probably tomorrow. And man, they're just the cutest little things. I don't know if anybody knows what a yak looks like, but it's kind of like a really curly cow. And they've got some really interesting color patterns sometimes. And what I have is these two calves that were born are trim calves. So which means that they have mostly black, but a little bit of white on their feet and head. And a lot of the time, or maybe not a lot of time, but commonly the... trim calves will have hearts on their forehead, little white hearts on their forehead. It's the most adorable little thing ever. I don't do it justice, man. You gotta see the pictures. I think I posted at least one picture on Facebook recently and on Instagram. If you follow me on Instagram at Nick Hazy, you can see all of the little pictures of the pigs and the yaks.
Very cool. Now, all right, so you said the 17 piglets, like, How many pigs did you have before these couple of litters were born?
I think I had 17, actually.
Oh, okay, so you doubled your little herd there.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that means you still have plenty of room for them at the current moment, or?
Oh yeah, I've got acres to put them on. I'm not going to run out of space for pigs for a while.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Lots of
now, is there a new piglet tax? Do you have to pay a tax on every new piglet that is spawned? Because, you know, heaven forbid the parasitic government, like, not get a piece of everything. Do you have to cut bacon off your piglets when they're born and give it to the government?
I'm glad that we don't have any laws like that yet, but I'm sure it'll be soon to come.
Yeah, if somebody, some bureaucrat, some politician somewhere can conceive of it as a way to make money, I'm sure they'll find a way to try to implement it. Absolutely. I wouldn't be surprised if there's something like that already here in New York. I keep talking about trying to start something here, and I'm sure I'll come across that.
Piglets are illegal in New York, but if you do have a piglet, you got to pay tax on it.
You got to have a piglet permit, of course. You know, that's a given here in New York. You need a permit for just about everything, except the type of business I currently run, which is very strange, and I'm very thankful for the fact that I fall between some weird crack. But, well, that's great, man. So don't now forget, you got some more.
Don't forget animals. the falling through the crack tax.
Oh yeah, well, that's a whole separate issue.
Hey, thanks for having me on tonight, and thanks to everybody for listening. For more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com. Worms!
Worms.
Yes. And remember, kids, the state is just in your head.
It's not real.
It isn't.
But there are men with guns that will come pay you a visit if you don't pretend that it's real.
Yes. Mass delusions. Interest things.